20 minutes to 10. We talk health after we talk financial health, we talk physical health, and we talk to the great professionals on a regular basis from the Sydney Adventist Hospital. And this next one is pancreatic cancer. I was unaware of this, the eighth most commonly diagnosed cancer in the nation. More than 4,500 people told they had the illness in just the last 12 months alone. So let's learn more about this. Dr. Hunter Wang is a gastroenterologist at the SAN Hospital. Here he is talking about gastroenterology and, in specific terms, pancreatic cancer.
Good evening, John. Thank you for having me on the program.
Could we just start, what is the pancreas? Because we know, I guess, that the cancer affects it, but what is it? What does it do?
Yeah, the pancreas is an important organ that's located near the stomach, and it serves multiple functions, including the production of enzymes to help digest food and also the regulation of blood sugars.
So when the cancer hits it, how do we describe that and what are the symptoms?
Pancreatic cancer may cause several symptoms, including unexplained weight loss, abdominal pain, back pain, nausea, diarrhea, loss of appetite. As you can see, these symptoms can be a bit vague and may mimic other conditions.
Right.
There are also signs such as jaundice, which is the yellowing of the skin and eyes, dark urine, and changes in stool color. And also new onset diabetes is a concerning feature.
Yeah.
However, despite these symptoms, actually most patients are symptomatic and pancreatic cancer may be picked up incidentally on a scan that they're having for some other reason, or they don't really develop symptoms until, for example, the last week, even though this could have been something that's brewing for many months or even years.
So that's quite frightening what you've just said. So you're saying the cancer's there, it's developing, you haven't got the symptoms, but you're saying it doesn't become obvious what until, you, was that right what you said, the last weeks?
That's exactly right.
Wow.
So most patients do not have symptoms. And we do not have a real screening program in Australia to look for pancreatic cancer. And that's one of the reasons why it's so deadly. So around only 20% of patients are diagnosed at the so-called early stage. And around 50% are diagnosed when the cancer has already spread everywhere, when it's quite late. So because patients don't have symptoms, it doesn't really come to the attention of the doctors. Even when they do have symptoms, as mentioned earlier, they're a bit non-specific and can apply to a whole range of other problems, and most of us may just brush it off.
Yeah, and when you talk about the cancer spreading, is that through the pancreas or spreading from the pancreas into other parts of the body?
From the pancreas to other parts of the
body.
Right,
okay, yep. So if it's in the pancreas and quite dominant in the pancreas and hasn't spread to other parts of the body, can you contain it? Can you shrink it? Oh, sorry to use these late terms, but what are your options?
No, good question. So just to step back a bit, so pancreas cancer is basically split into early stage, which is just localized to within the pancreas and not too big. There could be borderline or they could have spread. So for the early stage cancers, which is roughly 20% of patients, if they're eligible for surgery, then that's excellent, and that is the only form of cure by surgery. In the middle stage, where it's so-called locally advanced or borderline resectable, those patients, if they're eligible, will have chemotherapy first, and then if their patients have a good response and the cancer shrinks, then they can have surgical resection as well. But, of course, if the cancer has already spread to other parts of the body, then it won't be curable. They may or may not be eligible for systemic or chemotherapy at that stage.
Yeah, but that's very serious, as you've said, that situation.
Correct.
Okay, and just where you talk about the surgery, so say, okay, it's the early stages with the surgery, do you cut the cancer out? What do you do with that surgery? Can you take part of the pancreas out and remove the part that has the cancer?
Yes, so it depends on which part of the pancreas the cancer is located. For example, at the head of the tail, there's different kinds of surgeries for it. And so the surgery will remove that whole section of the pancreas. Sometimes they even remove the whole pancreas. But for example, if the cancer is just at the back end, at the tail of the pancreas, then you can do a surgery just to cut the tail of the pancreas and preserve the remainder of the pancreas.
Right. But can you remove the whole pancreas, can you, if it hasn't spread elsewhere?
Yes. It depends on the location. Some patients may need removal of the whole pancreas.
Okay. And if can you function without... I'm sorry to ask these questions again. I'm a layperson, but can you function without one?
No, John, these are very important and good questions. So you can function without a pancreas. There are various issues as a consequence of that, including the development of diabetes. Yeah. Because, as we said, pancreas is important for producing hormones, regulating your sugar. However, when they have the pancreas, you will effectively have diabetes. Yeah. However, that can be managed by medications.
Yeah.
You may also have...
So the things it produces would be therefore you'd have to take or have injected the things that it produces if it's not there.
Correct, tablets,
right.
And injections.
Yeah, okay, all right. But the I guess listening to this, and I think, well, any of us, we could have this and not know it. Are there blood tests, the same we do the PSA tests or those, anything that we can do to identify whether it's there?
Yeah, this is a topic of a lot of research, and it's what we call the holy grail of cancer research, to find a simple and non-invasive test.
Yep.
There's no real good test for pancreatic cancer. There is a blood test that can be associated with pancreatic cancer, such as something called a CA19.9. However, we do not use it for diagnosis because it may be elevated for any other reason. And if we were to do too many blood tests, which may have implications for additional testing and may even cause harm and anxiety to the patient, that's not a very good test. So the short answer is no, we do not have a good test for the diagnosis of pancreatic cancer, but we have blood test to help monitor the progress of pancreatic cancer once it's been diagnosed.
So I guess what people then have to do is it genetic, if you've got history of it in the family, even then, would you be able to do a test to see whether it's there? How could that be done?
I guess the bigger picture is what are we aiming for? And the aim is to find the cancer at the earliest stage possible. So number one, if you have any symptoms, definitely see a doctor as soon
as possible. Explain to me, though, how do you find it? Because you talk about you don't do blood tests, so do you actually have to do a physical examination and physically go in and have a look, do you?
Yeah, diagnosis is a combination of things, as often is in medicine. So it will be have your doctor having a good chat with you about your symptoms and maybe signs, blood tests, checking for other things, such as your liver test, because often they may become abnormal.
Yes.
And then some form of scan. That could be a high-quality CT scan, MRI scan, or an endoscopic ultrasound, where if we find the lesion, we can actually take a biopsy of it at the same time.
So the survival rate, the 4,500 people told they had the illness last year, what are the proportions? I'm almost frightened to ask what the survival rate is.
Yeah, so as you said, it's the eighth most common cancer in Australia. However, it's the third most common cause of cancer death. So that implies it's quite a deadly cancer.
Yep.
And in fact, it may even be more deadly than brain cancer. So roughly only 12% of people will survive up to 5 years. It's not a very high number.
No, it's not. No,
perspective compared to 20 years ago, it was only around 3 or 4%.
Yeah. What about lifestyle, diet, the things that, you know, we do to try and make sure that we maximise our chances of not contracting these things? Where does this fall into that category?
It's very important. And medicine should really be about prevention of diseases. Yep. So the risks for pancreatic cancer include smoking, obesity, long-term diabetes, potentially alcohol. So, of course, therefore, fixing these issues or, for example, quitting smoking, preventing excess alcohol consumption, ensuring a healthy weight and a balanced diet are all things that can help reduce the risk of pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, one of the biggest risk factors for pancreatic cancer is simply age, and there's nothing we can do about that.
And just finally, with clinical trials, which are always being done to try new ways, is that happening here?
Yes. So with the current treatments, the current chemotherapies, they have improved over time. However, the survival rates are still not that great. But there are new advanced drugs that's currently being researched. And so it's always important to ask your doctor whether you're eligible for a clinical trial with the newer therapies. And you may have a much better result than pre-existing current chemotherapies.
Yeah, okay. All right, look, hopefully we can talk again in the future when you've got some good news on some of those clinical trials. If you ever need help with getting the message out, please contact us. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thank you, Tom.